This podcast is proudly supported by Baseballism, an all baseball-related apparel and clothing company for baseball people. Check them out at baseballism.com. It's America's brand.
Welcome to the ANA Sports Podcast, Sports Talk, with your hosts, Anthony Cortez and Alex Ashley.
And Kevin!
Oh yeah, and Kevin Rowe.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the ANA Podcast, episode 90, coming at you remotely from my apartment. Obviously, with things going on in the world right now, as of 6 o'clock today, 6 o'clock this afternoon, San Antonio got put on a stay-at-home order, so we are doing this remotely. I got the boys, Kevin and Alex, on a conference call with me right now. And we're gonna try to give you an episode, but we're gonna try to do it remotely. So here we go, Alex and Kevin, say hi, boys.
What's up? Hello.
All right. So we're gonna try to keep this short, obviously, because we're doing it remotely. But there's a few things going on that we want to touch on and talk about, and so on and so forth. We still wanted to put something out for y'all, so we're still gonna do that. But obviously the biggest news that came out of the last week or so has been Tom Brady. So, Tom Brady, officially put it on his Instagram and Twitter that he was, not going to be returning to the Patriots. And then rumors came out either that day, that same day or the next day that, he was rumored to be going to the Buccaneers. And it just became official. I want to say, it was probably like 2 or 3 days ago that the contract negotiation was still trying to get sorted out. But, it's official now. It's a 2-year deal, $25 million. So yeah, our general thoughts on it. We got anything, Kevin, you got anything on that?
I mean, it's Tom Brady to the Bucks. Okay. I kind of figured he was leaving. Just all the writing on the walls just seemed like he was leaving in the first place. You know, like, he sold his house, he and his trainer went several ways or whatever. I honestly thought he was going to California because I think he had a home in Los Angeles, so I thought it would have been better for him there. But Bucks offered him a big deal. And honestly, I think he just wanted to get out of the cold. He was tired of New England. He was tired of Bill Belichick for one, but I think the cold was a big thing. That's where he went to Florida. Because I don't think there's any chance of really winning with the Bucks. But I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. He just wanted the money that the Patriots wouldn't want to pay him. And better in final.
Fair enough. Alex?
I have a couple of thoughts. The place that he moved was, like Kevin said, you know, somewhat surprising, somewhat not surprising. I myself also thought he was going to be going to Los Angeles. I know that he just started a production company down there. I believe it's called 199 Productions. Talking about that was his draft choice. That was when he got drafted. That was his draft number.
I thought he started the whole thing TV12.
Well, that's his brand. When he started a producing company for like movies and stuff, you know. But I guess that's what old people from New England do. They move down to Florida, so it makes perfect sense on some level. You know, a lot of people are kind of dismissing this team. You know, even if Tom Brady joined it, but I have a couple of thoughts on that. I think that they can be pretty good. I think that they can be automatic playoff contenders, like, without a doubt. I mean, if you look at a couple of things, number one, their starting quarterback last year threw 30 interceptions and 33 touchdowns. He may be one of the first 30-30 guys ever. He is the first 30-30 guy ever. If he has got 33 touchdowns, I mean, the receivers that he has on that team must be pretty good, and that's kind of an understatement with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. You got some young, promising tight ends, O.J. Howard, all these guys. You have a couple of good running backs in Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber. The defense is a little bit lackluster, but the team did get, I think, about 9 interceptions last year. Matt Gay is good at punting. He's good at field goals, so they're pretty well set on the offensive side of the ball. And then with Bruce Arians at the helm, I think that this team could very well make it to the playoffs, maybe as a wild card or maybe as a, you know, kind of a second slot coming out. But as long as that defense gets a little bit better, they can be a pretty scary team. They can be a pretty scary team for sure.
Yeah, I agree more with Alex. I think any team that has number 12 on it, you got a pretty good shot to win, even though he's not dual threat. We all know that. He's a pocket passer. That's what he does. I mean, as long as he has his receivers or as long as he has weapons, I mean, he's going to be dangerous. And, you know, it already came out that one of his requirements, or the only requirement that he had really, was he just wanted his receivers' numbers right away so that he could start getting in touch with them. But, yeah, I mean, you got Mike Evans out there. There's is it Chris Goodwin as well that I'm thinking of? I'm sorry?
Chris Godwin.
Godwin, thank you. But yeah, you got Chris Godwin out there. You got a couple of other receivers. I mean, you never know. Could be dangerous. You never know. I think very well could be a potential playoff team. But I mean, 2 years. I mean, that's kind of expected. I mean, he's 43, I think. So I mean, we'll see how that plays out. You know, but yeah, it's I kind of agree more with Alex. You know, maybe a potential playoff team and could make some noise. That division though, Alex, you said, you know, why would you want to play Breeze twice a year? I'm kind of with you on that, but it is Tom Brady, so that's very interesting. Any other thoughts, boys?
I think another interesting thing, too, is if you look at that division as a whole now, they may be one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL right now. With Drew Brees and the Saints, you look at Matt Ryan and the offense now that has, I think, 10 first-round starters, or 10 top-10 draft picks. And then the Carolina Panthers making moves, and then the Tampa Bay Bucks making moves. It very well could be one of the least talked-about divisions that may be one of the toughest right now.
How many first round picks did they have last year? 8, 9 in their offense? I don't know. I mean, come on. I mean, all these first round picks that you're having in doesn't necessarily make you the best team. It means they're all underperforming.
Potentially.
I mean, I've seen guys move teams and then start to perform really, really well.
Yeah, you never know. But, I mean, I don't have faith in the Falcons. I wouldn't put them as a powerhouse yet in the NFC, even with Todd Gurley.
Well, no, I'm not saying that they're a powerhouse.
Well, you're saying they're competitive. Saying they're one of the better divisions because of them.
To beat is my point. You can't take the Falcons for granted when you play the Falcons, especially when you play them at home.
In that division, it's the Saints and everybody else.
Potential. I mean, Brady's what, 106?
I know you hate the Saints, but it's the Saints and everybody else.
106 now? 106,
107? I don't know. What do you think, Anthony? I think it's the Saints and everybody else, personally. Get it from another unbiased person, right?
I'm sorry, were you asking me? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was the question?
What do you think about that division?
I think it's the Saints and everybody else. I don't think it's a strong division still.
I can agree with that, but I mean, it goes back to what I just said. I mean, any team with Tom Brady can be dangerous. I mean, it's as simple as that for me. I mean,
Go ahead.
I don't think it's an automatic bid for the Saints anymore.
I'll say this with Tampa Bay, though. I mean, yeah, you're losing all those interceptions by Jameis, but you're also losing all those touchdowns. How many touchdowns did Tom Brady have last year? 12?
No.
13? He didn't have a lot. He didn't have 30.
It was in the 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, but look at the wide receiver core he had up there, too.
Okay.
Who does he have to throw to? Julian Edelman? Who?
Okay.
This is going to be the best tandem of wide receivers he'll ever have had. I can see him getting into the high 20s, even 30s next year.
Does he have the offensive line to protect him, though?
Did Jameis Winston?
I think Jameis had a better chance because he had legs.
I don't think Jameis could see a guy coming even if he wanted to.
He couldn't see a defender run toward the ball if he wanted to.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I still don't see the Bucks up there, but that's just me.
Fair enough, Kev. All right, so next on the agenda, some more interesting news that came out today, or recently. It was today, I think. P.J. Walker signed with the Carolina Panthers. Contract details haven't been discussed yet, or haven't been disclosed yet that we've seen, but interesting move there, or move there. As soon as everything got suspended because of the COVID-19 situation, pandemic going on right now, XFL released shortly after that that they were going to be okay with their players signing with the NFL. So I don't know if this is the first one that's been announced or this was the first transaction, but this is interesting. Arguably the best player in the XFL now has a job in the NFL. So quick thoughts, Alex?
I think that PJ Walker was extraordinary when he played in the XFL. I mean, there was no question that he was definitely a cut above everybody else that was playing in that division. The move to me is still, whether it's good or bad, a little bit is yet to be seen. Granted, PJ Walker is a very dynamic player, very explosive player. I really like Kyle Allen and how he was able to kind of come in and set the tone for the Panthers. Now, granted, a lot of the coaching staff that Kyle Allen played under is no longer there, at least some of the key people.
Neither is Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen?
No, he was traded to Washington.
Was he?
He was.
I didn't know that. Why would they trade him to Washington?
Because they got Teddy Bridgewater, too.
Who did?
Panthers?
So they signed, that's right, they did sign that, huh?
Yeah, Panthers have Teddy Bridgewater.
That makes even less sense to me, then. That's getting even worse.
With Kyle Allen, they had 5 quarterbacks on their roster, which made Kyle Allen expendable. Because they weren't going to make him the starter over Teddy Bridgewater. Now, if you want to look at the style of play, you're probably looking at, okay, which is more like who we're going to have for the starter in Teddy Bridgewater. Is it going to be Kyle Allen, who's more of a pocket passer, or is it going to be P.J. Walker, who's shown that he can scramble in the XFL? That's why they signed P.J. Walker and got rid of Kyle Allen.
Right. So I don't know if he left, but more my point was that it seemed to be that the style that Kyle Allen brought was working because they did really well when he was in. And he's still fairly young. I mean, he only had 17 touchdowns, 16 picks. You know, his longest pass was 52 yards. He only had, about 62% completion percentage, but it seemed to be that was working. So I find it kind of interesting that the direction that these coaches are now going is very much away from that. Because even when their new head coach, Matt Rhule, was at Baylor, their player was more like Kyle Allen, less like Teddy Bridgewater. Now, granted, a little bit of that, I think, has to go with, like, recruiting and who you can get and who you can pay for in the NFL and the free agency in the NFL. So they went with who they think is the best, and that would be Teddy Bridgewater. And that's still a question mark to me as well. You know, he went with
P.J. Walker, because Rhule actually knows Walker from Temple, because
he does.
Rhule coached at Temple.
He did.
And had P.J. Walker under his wing, so it's familiar territory for both of them.
Well, see, Walker, yeah, but again, I don't know. It just seemed to be like a pretty big shift, in my opinion. So we'll see if it works out, but I'm a little more confident in Brady doing well than Walker doing well right now.
Oh, I am too, because Walker's not going to start.
Well, but over, like, let me phrase that. I am more confident in how Tampa Bay will do than how Carolina will do.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just kind of as an overall, like, definitely. Even though Tom Brady's, like, 106 years old and won't be wearing number 12 anymore.
Do we know he won't be wearing number 12?
I really doubt that Godwin's going to give it over to him easily.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize he was also number 12. My bad.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I don't know. Did you see some of the quotes?
You're going to tell a legend that he can't wear his number, and then you got to get passes from that guy? Godwin's numbers will dip to oblivion if he refused to give 12 to Tom Brady.
I don't know.
Is there a rule saying that you can't have 2 number 12s?
Right.
Is that a thing?
I'm sure there's not. It happens all the time.
There is a rule. No 2 players on the same side of the ball can wear the number 12.
Yeah.
But you can have, like, a defensive player number 12 and an offensive player number 12.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's in the NFL like that anymore. But at least I've never seen it happen like that, because I know, yeah, I haven't seen any, like, cornerbacks with the same number of running backs.
Right.
Because you have to have within that certain range for the position.
But even then, like, you know, that, my biggest question is this what the XFL is going to become? Is it just going to become a funnel to the NFL?
I think it needs to be. If they're going to have players that are going to elevate the game,
that's just awesome.
They need to have the talent level from the NFL and then vice versa.
But see, I feel like if your whole job is to get people to go somewhere else, then you won't sustain as a league in and of yourself.
So that's to the minor leagues.
Yeah, but they're being sustained by the teams above. There's no direct correlation between the XFL teams and the NFL teams.
Not yet.
Well,
let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting thought. I mean, will it become a point now where NFL teams are going to start to start buying these XFL teams? You know, will it be a thing where the WWE kind of releases those rights and says, well, hey, if you want to buy a team, be our guest, and you know, if they want to go that route, that'll be interesting.
See, I don't see McMahon giving up the rights like that, especially if it's making money.
I don't think it's making enough right now, though, for it to sustain.
Well, but he knew it was going to be down for the first couple of years.
Well, yeah. Well, he said he's got it funded for 3 years.
Yeah. Like, he'll be okay. I don't know. It kind of depends on how it goes once everything starts back up. But by that point, it'll probably be regular football season. And so, you know, I don't think the XFL will be continuing, but I don't know. And plus, my whole thing is it doesn't make as much sense to have a minor league NFL. Reason being is that in the NFL, players only get to play for so long. You know what I mean? Like, if the average is 4 years and a guy spends 3 years in the XFL and spends 1 year in the NFL, and if he gets hurt, like, game three, you know? Like, it doesn't make as much. Like, in the minor leagues for baseball, you can play for 10, 15, 20 years. You can't do that in the XFL, unless you're a kicker. I don't see it going like that. I think it will continue to happen, but I don't think that is what it will end up being, you know?
I can see that being a trend if this is already happening. If this is the first XFL player that's been allowed to sign with an NFL team, I can see that trend starting to grow. I can see the XFL telling its guys, "Hey, I mean, you got to do what's best for you. I mean, if you want to go, you know, chase a dream and play in the NFL, regardless of what that means, being a practice guy or, you know, potentially being a starter, not a starter, but potentially being a bench player or, you know, yeah, like a role player, and go do your thing." I can see a trend happening that like that.
Yeah. No, I don't think the trend's going to hold up the same way just because of everything that's going on right now in the year.
Oh, no, and of course.
Because if you think about it right now, the XFL would still be going on. And the season would still be going on after the draft as well. So the fact that these players are available for these teams to sign before the draft helps them kind of plug and play some of the areas that they need before they can draft them from the college ranks. So I think that's affecting some of it, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know.
Any other quick thoughts, Alex?
No, I mean, congratulations to them. I know there's a couple other guys who also got signed for the XFL. So congratulations to all of them and their families because they're living their dream. So,
yep.
Well done.
Yeah. Kevin?
No, same way. Good on them. Get your money.
Exactly.
You know? Jordan Taiamo was just announced that he signed with Kansas City to be Patrick Mahomes' backup. So, there you go.
There you go. I did not know that. Well, Kev, I'm interested to see your thoughts on this next one, next order of business. This one just got, you know, announced like literally hours ago, or about an hour ago. But Travis Frederick, man, I can't say his name, is calling it a career at 29. The Cowboys center is done with football and will not play the next year. Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, sucks that he's leaving. He's only 29, so I mean, I thought he had a couple more good years in him. But he had that two seasons ago in 2018 where he missed the whole year because of Guillain-Barre disease. And the Cowboys shown that they have some depth at the position at the guard, at the, well, he's the center, but they had some people move over, move in that spot. And they struggled at first, but they did okay. And I could see the Cowboys drafting another offensive lineman to kind of fill in those shoes again, but they have depth at the position, so I think the Cowboys will still be okay. That unit is getting older, though, so like Tyron Smith and Martin's all gonna be all gonna be following him pretty soon, probably. So we'll see what happens in the future.
You say there's depth at the position, or depth at the position, but I gotta ask, man, because Isaiah texted me with the news too, and he said the window's now closed, or the window is closed. Do you think the window's closed? Do you think they still? I mean, as long as they sign Dak to long term, or not long term, but at least as long as they sign Dak, or if they give him some weapons, how do you see that window?
Well, they need to sign into a long term contract. He's still stuck with the Cowboys for this year. Whether or not he decides to play, I think he's going to play. Honestly, I think he's going to play under the franchise tag. He's going to get his money sooner or later. He's got enough endorsements that he's not worried about it too much. He even said so before the beginning of last season that he wasn't too worried about whether or not they got a contract up, because he has enough endorsements. He has enough money saved up. He's got backup option plans if something drug out, so I'm not too worried about him in those regards. They need to shore up some of the other pieces around them. We'll see how that plays out, but I don't think the window's closed. I think they got at least a couple good years. They got a lot of young players in Zeke and Dak if they resign them. Amari Cooper's locked up for 5 years. You still got Michael Gallup, who's absolutely lights out for speed. And then you got, on the defensive side, you still got Jalen Smith. You got Leighton Vander Esch once he comes back from his surgery and his neck woes. They just signed Gerald McCoy to 3 years on a bargain of a contract for the production they can get out of him. DeMarcus Lawrence, he needs to step up again. But if they can keep their defensive line from getting in trouble with drugs again, Randy Gregory, I think they'll be okay.
All right. Alex, you're not a Cowboys fan, but any quick thoughts just in general about Travis Frederick calling it a career at 29?
I mean, that's a big one, of course. He's a good, solid guy for that team for a very long time, a great leader up front. Like Kevin said, they definitely showed that they did have some depth at that position when he went out. So, you know, not overly worried about it for the Cowboys, that is. Now, granted, you know, like I said, you are losing a pretty big piece. But, I mean, with the Lion that's still there, I mean, it's still a very talented line. They have a good head coach that will help them get better, a good offensive line coach as well. You know, it's one of those things where I don't necessarily think that the window is closed, per se. I don't think that losing one guy at that position is going to make or break a season. Can it help and it'll hurt? Of course. But I don't think that it's quite as detrimental as some might think it is, especially with a lot of the talent that's around them. You know, you have one of the league's top running backs, one of the league's top receivers, one of the league's top 10, top 15 quarterbacks. You have an offensive-minded head coach in there now who will really help open up that playbook and make that offense kind of what it should be. And, you know, their defense is getting much better. They're a fairly young defense, and they're going to get better as the season goes on. They showed that last year as well. So I don't think that the window is closed. Does it hurt? Well, sure. When you lose an all-time great at the position, yeah, sure, it hurts. But, I mean, that's football. It kind of is what it is, and good for him for getting out before he got, you know, injured any worse. And, you know, I wish the best for him and his family.
Yeah, pretty much all you can say. I don't think the window's closed, but, I mean, it's a big part, or it's a big piece of that offensive line, that good offensive line that's going now, that you got to feel, especially at the center position. So, like I said, I don't think the window's closed, but I mean, I think you need to get to work quickly. So,
yeah.
All right, boys. Well, Alex threw out this one just as we were prepping here, but with everything going on, I mean, obviously with the COVID-19 pandemic situation going on, affecting sports at all levels, we've talked about it, but we don't have sports right now at all. I mean, NASCAR is still going, to my knowledge, I think, but and UFC is still trying to figure out their things, WWE, if you want to consider that, but not, I don't want to make anyone mad, but WWE is still planning WrestleMania, but I mean, in general, sports are kind of on hold right now. So we were thinking, I mean, with the NBA, with NFL not making any announcements yet about their coming season, but MLB also kind of on hold, and you know that the season is delayed for the foreseeable future. What are sports going to look like in a year or so? Are schedules going to be the same, or is it? Are we going to have leagues running into each other? Are we going to have NFL running into whatever it is? Are we going to have the NBA running into baseball? What? How is it going to look? Alex, quick thoughts, man, or not quick thoughts, but thoughts.
I don't think anything that we do on this show is quick.
Seriously.
Well, I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thought. You know, if you look at how this delay will affect all these different sports and all these different players, it's kind of interesting, you know, to look at and kind of evaluate and see where these sports might be going or what they might do when they come back. You know, there was talk that if the NBA should come back in June or July or whatever the case is, that, you know, they may resume a little bit of regular season. They may just jump straight into postseason, whatever the case may be. Personally, I would like to see it go into a little bit of the regular season beforehand, just so I can see if some of these, you know, younger teams, these teams that were kind of fighting for that 7th, 8th place, especially like in the West, can make it. You know, you look at a team like the Pelicans, you look at a team like, you know, the Trailblazers, like these guys that are just kind of on the cusp but not quite there. Maybe with this break, they can, you know, make their way back in. You know, look at a lot of these teams who had players who were injured throughout the season. They kind of get this time to rest and recoup, and then they can come back and play. But, you know, one of my big questions is, you know, with LeBron being as old as LeBron is, with this break, if he stays in shape, they come back. Yeah, they may be a little bit rusty, but that's a well-rested LeBron coming into what very well could be the playoffs immediately. Like, that's scary for the rest of the league. You know, Giannis is a well-rested Giannis. He's coming back, and that's scary for the East. You know, you look at the Pelicans, who could have more time and more training with Zion Williamson, and what he can do now that he's got a little bit more time on the court and a little more understanding. John Morant, who's been leading the Grizzlies for a while now, like, what can these guys do with this rest, you know? So just the NBA playoffs alone would be exciting to watch, because these guys are, you know, very well rested. Now, granted, there are players that have caught the COVID-19, and, you know, that very well may have taken quite a bit out of them, so I can understand where they met. You know, that might be kind of a struggle for them to come back into it. But even still, you know, it's interesting to see what it's like when all these guys come back. Baseball is another one for me. Now, as much as we love baseball, one of the things about it is a lot of these guys are fairly old. You look at some of the greats right now. You look at, you know, Yadier Molina, you know, arguably one of the greatest defensive catchers of all time. You know, he was coming back for another season, but, you know, maybe he doesn't have it in him now that he's a year older. You know, you look at, you know, a lot of these teams that are a little bit older, you know, how are they going to react to this extra year off? Is it like, oh, well, I got rested for a full year, and so I can come back and play harder? Or is it, I'm another year older, my body hurts that much more, I just can't do it this year, you know? And without, you know, kind of the everyday gameplay, without being active for that year, as far as the season goes, if these guys do come back and play, you know, what does the risk of injury look like? Are there more twists and sprains, and are more guys injured because their body wasn't,
doing those motions that they do in game. They were just doing kind of their workout stuff. I'm even curious to see is how stadiums are built moving forward. If there is something that they're going to do about this whole idea of, you know, social distancing or having X amount of people, like, are they going to change the way the floor seatings are done? Not that they will necessarily, but I would be curious if that's even something that they think about, you know?
Well, you can just up the price. Yeah, but the more space you put in between seats, the less people you can fit in, less money.
Well, but if you make seats, like, six apart, and then you can sell certain seats, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm just curious if they have any kind of, if this has any effect moving forward on, like, how they build arenas, how they do anything, you know? So those are some of my just kind of general thoughts.
Kevin?
I mean, I don't think sports is going to change too much. You will see the elder people in the leagues probably call it a career. Like, I don't see a lot of them being like, oh, it's just another year of rest. No, because when you get at the older ages, it takes longer for your body to prepare for a season. You can ask any one of the older people in Major League Baseball. Justin Verlander has to start earlier. You mentioned Yadi Molina. I think he does too. Max Scherzer. They start earlier than they used to because they can't just jump off the couch and start pitching 90 anymore. Mm-hmm. Because they can feel it in the bones. They have to gradually get there slowly or they're going to hurt themselves. So I think you're going to see that across all sports, not just baseball. You'll see it in basketball, especially like players with their knees. They have to take it easy at first. Football as well. As far as what's going to happen like this year, if the NBA season's going to drag out any further into late summer, I see them just canceling it because then you're going to bleed into next season. I don't think that's going to happen. Baseball's interesting because this is right at the beginning of it. If things don't clear up soon, there may be a chance that they cancel the season. It's not like you can extend it and go into November, December, because you have a lot of outdoor stadiums. You can't play baseball outside. You can do that with basketball. You can't do it with baseball. A lot of players and coaches in the league have talked about doubleheaders. There's even an idea for an NCAA-like tournament. In fact, I got a clip for that if you wanted to hear that, Anthony.
Sure, try it.
We'll see how it works out.
Back to you, then. What was that you were saying about the possibility of an NCAA-like tournament?
Yeah, I think that baseball would be open to a number of ideas, depending on how much time frame they had. And let's face it, it would be all about trying to make the best of a bad situation. And so they would, I think they, if it means a 60-game season, if it means a 90-game season, a 100-game season, everybody would understand within the sport that, the integrity of 162-game, that's out the window for this year. And in 1995, they played 144 games. In 1981, because of a strike, they played 106 to 110 games. They shortened the season by a week in 1972. I think baseball is going to be flexible in how it deals with it.
Tex, if they were to play 60 games and then create some sort of play-in tournament or whatever else it is, do you think most of the players would be for that? Do you think that would seem like something that would be satisfying for players and to whatever extent you can answer this, for fans as well?
Well, I think it'd be fun. I don't think players are going to be for that. I mean, listen, if you start the season in June, you can play 100 games and you can have a normal season, right? If you start the season in July or August, you're going to have to get very creative. And I think players right now are trying to be optimistic, saying, let's try to get back by June 1st, maybe, and have a 100-game season, and then a regular offer postseason. Because I think you start getting in a lot of trouble when you start talking about playing games in November and December. So weather just won't allow that in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that was Buster Olney and Mark Teixeira talking with Mike Greenberg on ESPN's Get Up, just so we can, I guess, give them the rights for that or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you can't extend the season. They're going to have to find ways to be creative with it. It could just be a really short season, or they may just scrap it all together. We'll see how long this actually carries out. And if they scrap it, then I guess that's just one season down the road, and we'll try again next year.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Kevin. And maybe it's just the traditionalist in me that, you know, because I was thinking about it, like, after we recorded last week's episode, I was like, depending on how late this goes into the NBA, I mean, depending on when they start talking about picking it back up, and, you know, if this goes into late May, early June, mid-June, I mean, I think you got to get really creative, and you got to start thinking, how can we go straight into the playoffs? I don't, because if it goes into late May, early June, I don't think this is just me, but I don't think you should play regular season. Not that I don't, but just not to mess with the schedule any more than it is. I mean, because when we ended, it was already like 20 games left in the regular season. So, I mean, at this point, we probably would have been down at like 10 or less games, possibly. But yeah, just to kind of not mess with the schedule, or not to push things, not to move things around too much, I think, like, if you get too late into it, you kind of have to seriously consider, like, should we just cancel it? Should we just cancel this season and just call it? I mean, because these are unprecedented times, you know. Nobody saw this coming, but in sports wise, nobody saw this coming, and it's, you know, it's kind of just, you kind of.
People saw it coming. Yeah, we can get all political on this if we wanted to. But
yeah, we're not a political show. I didn't mean to sound it like we didn't see this coming. I just mean, like, you know, we couldn't have.
We just had states pulled over our eyes.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't listen to me.
No, it's okay.
We're being stupid over here, as always.
Yeah, as always. But no, I mean, I think I'm with Kevin. I think if it gets too late into June, I think you kind of have to figure out, like, you got to get really creative as either, you know, rearranging the playoffs. Do you go to a best of five for all the series? Or do you just do the finals as a best of seven, like always? Or do you just do like a...
I don't think they're going to mess with the playoff format. I don't. It's got to be how they deal with the regular season and getting to the playoffs that they're going to change if it starts in June or July. If it doesn't start till August, then I could see them just scrapping the season.
Uh-huh.
Because you're going to have to give them at least a month to finalize their rosters, to get back in shape. Because you got to remember how... Yeah, some of these players are multimillionaires. They have their own gyms at home. They have ways to keep in shape. Not all of them are that way, though. There are a lot of players in every sport that are living in apartments near their practice facilities because they can go to the practice facility. But now, being locked up, they are locked up in a sense. They don't have the ability to go lift a whole bunch of weights, to do a lot of, like, stress training and stuff that they need to keep professional sports athletic ability level, you know?
Yeah.
So when everything comes back, every league, doesn't matter, they're going to need time to get ready.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I just wanted to say again that I agree that I think you have to think about just canceling the season, scrapping the season if it gets too late into it, because I mean that impacts these guys' off seasons, and I'm not sure that these guys would want their off seasons messed with if nothing's going to change starting next year, or if the next season is, you know, isn't going to be started later or whatever it is. But yeah, I think the league has, the NBA has a lot to think about with regarding to, you know, messing with the schedule as far as messing with our off season and telling them, okay, well, we can play again, but you're going to have a shorter off season. I don't know if every NBA player out there will say, well, that's cool. I don't think you're going to get many votes on that, but that's just me. MLB, I think playing a lot of doubleheaders sounds very tolling to me. I think you just have to shorten the season. Whenever you pick back up, I think you just have to think about shortening the season. Because, I mean, same thing with them. Same thing like with what you said, Kevin. Like, you can't extend the season too far. you know, going into November, a lot of those stadiums, a lot of those parks are outside, and they're in the winter, and you know, you can't mess with that. So, very, very interesting to see.
You can play in rain. You can't play in the snow.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, they could. I'm sure they could. Do they want to? Is another thing.
Not rolling, then it's not going to roll in an inch deep of snow, and then you're not going to be able to find it anyway.
That's true. That's also true.
Yeah, get the yellow ball and softball to play. Oh my goodness.
I don't think
they were proposing to do like double headers like every game, but they were, I mean, to limit the days off, to put a few double headers, like a couple double headers a week, maybe get a few more games in there, I think is what they're kind of leaning toward more than anything, but I don't even think that's going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah, I can't see a whole lot of double headers happening, and I can't see a lot of players agreeing to play a lot of double headers. It's just, you either shorten the season or if you get really creative, like Tex was just saying. But yeah, I wouldn't be mad at a tournament, though. This can be a whole other discussion, but I wouldn't be mad at a possible tournament style if they wanted to go that route. I don't know. How would y'all feel about that? Alex first.
I find it interesting that you say that, being the traditionalist that you are.
I say it because I love baseball the most, and I'm interested. I'm interested to see how that concept would play out.
To me, it's one of those things where if you have a shortened season, you have a shortened season. You put an asterisk on it, just like they did in the NBA when they had the lockout. It's unfortunate that it happens, but you play it out the same way. You know what I mean? You get as many games as you can in. And you kind of go from there, but you throw an asterisk on it, and whoever wins that one. I say if you're going to do it, just do it regularly. You know what I mean? I think that a NCAA College World Series kind of format could work. But I think you'd be taking something away from the game a little bit. Granted, it's under some different circumstances that these things are happening. But baseball is baseball, and at least Major League Baseball is Major League Baseball, and it's been played the same way for a very long time, you know?
Yeah.
I think you just kind of take your L on this one and keep moving forward and start back up next year like nothing happened.
Yeah, I can see that easily happening as well. Just shortening the season, figuring it out. Yeah, so. Kevin, any other quick thoughts?
I'm just trying to think of potential, like, tournament scenarios, how it would work.
Right.
I'm just running through it in my head. It's kind of messy because it's not an even number. If it was 32 teams, like the NFL, it would be perfect.
Right.
It'd be perfect. But you got 30 teams. Like, make it kind of, like, weird on the tournament side of it. How would you do? Would it be best of three, kind of like the College World Series? Or would you do round robin style play, kind of like in the World Baseball Classic, yeah. I mean, that kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see if they went that route, how it would work. I mean, we could probably do a little segment on that in our future episode. That might be fun to play.
That'd be fun. Yeah,
that would be fun.
But in real life, I don't see it happening because I don't think there's going to be enough time when the season does come back, and when they do decide that it is going to come back, there's not going to be enough time to organize something that massive.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Be very interesting to see how it all plays out, where we are a year from now. Definitely very, very interesting. To move on here, let's finish it off with some fun start bench cuts here. Let's have some fun. You know, sports is on hold right now. Life is tough in general, but let's finish it off with some fun start bench cuts. So I got three ready to go for you boys. You ready?
Yeah, I got five of them.
Okay. We can go one at a time if that's cool.
Sure.
All right. First one, Derek Jeter, Griffey, Ken Griffey Jr., Michael Trout. Alex first.
Uh,
Okay, so it's Trout, Jeter, and Junior?
Yes.
I'm going to go in that order. Trout, Jeter, Junior.
You're going to go... Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, as much as I want to put Junior over Jeter, I have to put Jeter there because of his consistency and his ability on the defensive side of the ball, so...
Fair. Kevin?
I am going the greatest ever, the kid, and then Mr. November. So Trout, Griffey, Jeter. If you didn't catch my references there.
Trout, Griffey, Jeter?
Yeah.
With Trout, Griffey, Jeter?
Yes. Okay.
I have to go Griffey, Trout, Jeter. Yeah, I grew up, Rocco and I grew up idolizing Griffey, more so me, but yeah, I love Trout. We all know this. I love Trout, but in this case, I got to bench him. So, and then
obviously not enough.
Obviously not enough. All right, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, okay. Randy Johnson, Madison Bumgarner, Andy Pettit.
Who first?
Kevin.
Johnson, Pettit, Bumgarner. No. Yeah. Johnson's one for me, for sure. You know what? I'm going Bumgarner and then Pettit, just because of the World Series accolades that Bumgarner has. Pettit is a great postseason pitcher, but I loved what Bumgarner did in the World Series. I'm putting Bumgarner over Pettit.
Anthony, what do you got?
I have to go same with Kevin, just because of what Madison did in the playoffs and what he did in his prime. I got to go Bumgarner, Johnson, Pettit.
Yeah, I'm going Johnson, Pettit, Bumgarner, and I feel like because Pettit never went down, like he never had a decline, I felt like. He just kind of stayed at that overarching excellence.
That's fair.
All right, what you got?
Biggio, Altuve, or Dustin Pedroia?
Ew. In that order. Biggio, Altuve, Pedroia.
I'm going to go Altuve, Biggio, Pedroia.
What?
Yeah, I think he'll get past him. I do.
Think?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
I have to go in that order. Biggio, Altuve, and Pedroia.
You got one?
I'm trying to come up with a couple here.
All right, I got another one. Kevin's working on stuff. So I have Mike McCarthy, Sean McVay, or Mike Zimmer? Mike McCarthy, Cowboy coach. Sean McVay, Rams coach. Mike Zimmer.
McCarthy, McVay, Zimmer.
Mike Zimmer's with the Vikings, right?
Yeah, I go in that order. McCarthy, McVay, Zimmer.
I think I go in that order, too.
See, I go McVay, McCarthy, Zimmer.
You got to the Super Bowl, but you didn't win it.
No. McCarthy, McVay, Zimmer. So we're all going that way?
No, I'm going McVay, McCarthy.
He got to the Super Bowl, but he didn't win.
Correct.
He did.
Correct. Well, one of them has a Hall of Fame coach, and the other one played against Hall of Fame quarterback, and the other one played against the Patriots. So I think that the way he designs and can scheme
what happened last year
a little bit better.
His offensive line is old as fuck.
All right, are we ready for the next one?
I'll give you one.
Okay.
Steroid bracket here. How about Simmons, Bonds, McGuire?
Clemens, Bonds, McGuire?
Clemens, Bonds, McGuire.
Alex, you go first.
I'm going to go Bonds, Clemens, McGuire.
I have to go Bonds, McGuire, Clemens.
I agree with Alex. I think it's Bonds, Clemens, McGuire.
Fair enough. All right, my last one.
Thank you. the career accolades of Clemens just kind of outweighs McGuire's, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Yeah, same. And he was a UT grad, so.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Anthony?
So now that we're in a stay-at-home order and we're going to be snacking a lot, three snacks of choice. Chips of any kind, cookies of any kind, candy of any kind.
I think I'm going to go cookies for one, cookies for two, and then probably cookies for three as well. No, I'm going to go cookies, chips, candy.
Kev?
Yeah.
He's struggling.
I am. All of the above.
Yeah, right? Is there a yes button? Yeah.
I choose D. Let's go.
Candy, because it's easier. Accessible, it doesn't make any crumbs. Then I'll say cookies because I just
cookies, man. Love cookies.
Cookies,
honestly.
And then chips because they're not sweet. I love chips.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, I'll put chips as my cut.
See, I don't like candy so much for some reason.
I like candy. I snack on candy all day.
Do you really?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Damn, like I can't do
chocolates,
that.
Jolly Ranch. I got a freaking bag of Jolly Ranchers in my car that I'm taking from all the time.
See, I can do like cookies. Like if I had like a thing of Oreos at work, I would destroy that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay. No question.
But see, with the Oreos, I gotta have milk, man.
See, like, I can do it without.
I love them with milk.
I love dessert with water. Brownies with water?
You are not American dessert.
Dude, it's fucking amazing.
What the fuck?
I like, because I don't want the sweetness. I don't want, like, the heavy. I just want water, cold water.
Oh, hell no.
I know, it's weird.
Cookies, brownies, all that good stuff. Served warm with an ice cold glass
water.
Of milk. All day, every day, cold milk. What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, I have to go in the order that I put it in. Chips, cookies, and candy. I'm not a big candy guy. I love cookies as well, but I like chips more. I can snack on chips all day.
Okay, but you got to answer that question.
Okay, no, here's
milk, water, or what? Where are the cookies made?
Milk, water, or soda?
Milk, water, or soda?
Just in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Water?
When I say Coke, I mean like any kind of soda.
Yeah. Water, soda, milk.
I'd probably go the same. I love milk, but I usually put it in stuff when I'm like cooking. So probably water, soda, milk.
I hardly ever drink milk. Like, I never drink milk. The only time I would drink milk is with cereal. But, I mean, and my coffee creamer, that's it. But, yeah, I don't drink soda at all, minus root beer at movies with popcorn. That's it. But, yeah.
You best.
See, with me, it's all dependent on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to work, or if I'm at work, or if I'm in my car, usually it's water. If I am having dinner or a meal, it's usually soda. If I'm just relaxing, chilling, I'm going chocolate milk all day long.
So chocolate milk is fucking delicious.
Yeah, so I mean, milk is milk. Chocolate milk's right there with it. So I would go chocolate milk, soda, then water.
I might have to get a chocolate milk. I love chocolate milk in my life.
Hell yeah.
That shit is delicious.
Big old tall glass of chocolate milk.
Honestly.
Now with cookies, it's got to be white milk. Because you got the chocolate in the cookie.
Yeah, you already have the chocolate. I would agree with that.
You don't agree with that because it's water all day for you. But.
Well, but if I'm having to choose chocolate milk or regular milk with my cookies, then I'm going regular milk. And then
they'll turn off.
Like all the fucking faucets.
Yeah,
water.
I will, dude. I will grab myself a fucking water.
All right, a couple more.
All right. So who would you rather have as your commissioner for your sports league? Rob Manfred, Roger Goodell, or Satan?
Neither? Can neither one be the option?
Nope. Who you got? Rob Manfred, Roger Goodell, and Satan. I was waiting for a, you said
Manfred twice. But anyway.
I mean, he's not Satan. He's just...
I would go Satan, Goodell, and Manfred.
I would go Satan, Manfred, Goodell.
I say Goodell because Goodell's a fucking pushover, man. Manfred's a fucking ass.
Yeah, they're both awful. But I'd rather have an ass who gets shit done than a pushover who never does fucking shit.
So you don't know what he's getting done.
Fair. But you can manipulate that. What do you got? Manfred, Goodell, or Satan?
Lately, I gotta go Goodell, Satan, Manfred. Stop trying to change baseball. Just stop trying to, just stop. Just stop with the rule changes. Just stop.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's true.
Baseball is beautiful. Stop trying to change it.
All right.
You got any more?
All right. You got any more, Anthony?
No, I'm done, dude.
I got two more.
Do one of yours, I'll do mine, then you do yours.
All right. Anthony, do you like Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You like Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Step Brothers, Anchorman, Talladega Nights.
Oh, that's kind of easy for me. Probably...
Step Brothers is my last.
For me, probably Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, Anchorman.
Fair enough. Really, come out of left field.
Yeah, I can do without Anchorman.
I have to go, Anchorman, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, and I love Talladega Nights. So that's the thing I would feel about.
I was debating putting Anchorman at the top. I think Talladega Nights is maybe a little bit more quotable. I like Talladega Nights better, so I'm putting Talladega Nights, Anchorman, Step Brothers.
Fair enough. I love Step Brothers, dude.
Yeah.
I love that movie. All right. What you got, Kevin?
In this time of self-isolation, we're having to do a lot of cooking. What is your choice? Chicken, beef, or pork?
Alex first.
Probably chicken, beef, pork.
Chicken, beef, pork.
I would even put fish over pork. I like pork, but like, meh. There's certain cuts I like. I don't just like pork.
Bacon.
Like, I like bacon. Like, I like ham and steaks. You know what I mean? Like, they're, yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm not like pork loin. But like, fish, I love fish more. You know what I'm saying?
I can't stand fish, so.
Same. I'm more of a fish fan, but if I had to do that, I'd have to do chicken, beef, pork.
Chicken, beef, pork, same. Nice.
I would say I love pork. I do, and it depends on how you're cooking it, too. Like pork chops, there's a stew that my wife's mom makes that's incredible with zucchini and corn. Oh, my God, that's so good. I love beef. So I would probably put beef first, chicken, and then pork. And like I said, I love pork. I do. I would put chicken above it just because it's a little more versatile. But I love what you can do with beef. I love fucking pot roast, enchiladas with some steak, chili.
Just like a good steak.
Good steak. Oh, so good. So, like, the meals that, the better quality meals, in my opinion, are the beef ones. That's why I like beef, but I love the versatility of chicken. That's put set number two for me. And pork is number three.
So, wait, what was yours? You went beef, chicken, pork?
Beef is start, chicken is bench, and pork is cut.
Fair enough. All right, boys, last but
literally
not
cut.
Least. Well, it's all cut. All right, last but not least, we have NCAA March Madness, college football playoffs, or the College World Series of Baseball. And that includes all of it, super regionals, the full night.
That's a tough one. Kev, go first.
I'm not going to lie. I don't really pay attention to too much of any one of them. Like, I keep up with them, but I don't watch them religiously. Let's go. I'd go March Madness. Probably football playoffs and College World Series. Yeah.
Anthony, what do you got?
I'd probably go March Madness, even though I love baseball. I don't pay attention to it until the actual College World Series, and, you know, that's – but, yeah, March Madness, college football playoff, and then the College World Series.
Fair enough.
See, for me, it would have to be College World Series of baseball followed by March Madness and then college football. See, the thing for me is, like, with the super regionals, the regionals, all that good stuff, like, you can get these little unexpected schools to make it all the way and even win the College World Series of baseball. There's much more opportunity. You don't see a team past, like, the four seed make it to the final game of the NCAA March Madness tournament. Like, they can have some upsets early on, but, like,
what was it last year, the 11th seed made it to the final four?
But I'm talking about the championship game.
They have a chance. They don't
have a chance, but in baseball, you have a better chance, I feel.
In my opinion. Yeah.
Because it starts so much further down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then college football is, you know, as much as I love college football, it's, you know, your top four, you kind of know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's there's no real upsets per se. They're still the best four teams in the nation. So, yeah, I would go baseball, basketball, football for me.
Fair enough.
Put it in that order. I'm a big baseball fan.
Sure. And, I mean, Omaha is special. You know what I mean? Like, playing in Omaha is special. So.
I like March Madness just because it's like bracket style. I love that kind of tournament type thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily
done.
Yeah, I don't necessarily watch college basketball at all or basketball in general. Like, I watched a little bit of NBA, but not much. College basketball even less. So, I mean, it is what it is. But with the college football playoffs, I mean, you know what you're getting. You have your top four. I think they need to expand it a little bit. And that's something we can talk about too. But, yeah, college baseball is just not one I've been watching. So.
Fair enough. That was a good one, man. I mean, I love baseball, and I agree with you. Playing in Omaha is special. Just for me, I mean, what I'll pay attention to. I went in the order that I'll pay attention to the most.
That's fair.
That's kind of where I was too. So
yeah.
But all right, boys, this was fun. In a time that we are in now, I mean, we had to make do. So, for our listeners out there, if we have to go remote again next week, we'll do that. But, yeah, we'll discuss it amongst the week, and we'll see how we go. But I just wanted to say for our friends in San Antonio with the stay-at-home order that's going on right now or that just got put in place, I mean, take it seriously. Unless you can still work and all that and how that's affecting you, just take it seriously. Stay at home. This is a serious issue. So, but I hope everyone's doing well out there. Take care of yourselves. And, I mean, take care of your family, all that good stuff. But yeah. Any closing thoughts, gentlemen? Alex first.
No, just stay safe, wash your hands, you know, be aware of your surroundings and, you know, follow some rules every once in a while, and we can make it all out of this a lot healthier than not. So,
yeah, Kev,
just stay home.
And I got one
don't
more.
Don't go thing. Out. Don't do a whole bunch of things. Wash your hands. Just stay home if you can. If you have to go to work, just keep washing your hands and try to limit who you're around. Just be smart. Know who you're with and who they've been with, so you know what's coming your way or what you can expect.
And one more thing too, just don't forget to, you know, keep hope. It's just, you know, this will pass. So don't get too caught up in the moment that you forget all the good things. So
I agree.
I got one more before we really close out. I got a question for all you guys that just kind of popped into my head. What are y'all doing, or what are y'all watching sports-related-wise to get you through this time of no sports?
I mean,
actually, to be honest, I'm not.
No?
No.
Anything for you, Anthony?
It's just been whatever on TV. I mean, ESPN, all the local channels have been replaying a lot of stuff. I mean, ESPN had a Tom Brady marathon on yesterday, so I was kind of – I had it on. I wasn't really paying attention, but, yeah. It's just been whatever's on. I mean, yesterday also while waiting for a press conference for a local news press conference, one of the local channels had the Volstar tournament going on, which I thought was the Masters, but – I later realized it was the Volstar tournament, whatever one that one was. But yeah, it's whatever's on TV at this point, honestly. I mean, WrestleMania was on the other night. ESPN was showing a replay of WrestleMania 30, and where Undertaker broke his streak against Brock Lesnar, or Undertaker had his streak, broke it against Brock Lesnar. So that was kind of fun, but I mean, it's just whatever's on. I mean, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been listening to a lot of stuff, but not watching as much right now.
See, I'll listen to everything on the radio and see what's going on, but there's not really much new that's coming on. Mm-hmm. I've actually kind of turned my attention to YouTube. So, I mean, there are still a lot of people out there still doing content, but a couple of the big ones that I follow and I like to watch, one of the biggest ones is Dude Perfect. If you haven't heard of these guys, they're five guys in Texas that do a whole bunch of trick shots. Well, last week they came out with a show once every day, Monday through Friday, in what they called the Quarantine Classic. And it was pretty cool. They did a three-point competition. They did an office golf competition, a roller chair hockey, spike ball, and something else this week. Indoor soccer. And it was a lot of fun just to watch. They were about 30, 45-minute episodes each. Nice. And they were playing for different prizes. One was like a roll of pee-pee. The other was hand sanitizer. It was pretty cool. And what they were doing is actually raising money and telling people, hey, donate to Red Cross for the first 4 days. And then the last day, it was, I think, the American Food Shelter. So they're trying to raise money for these efforts to help people get what they need during these times of crisis. Another one I like to watch is Gel's Marble Run. And it's marble racing. And you think it's kind of boring when you just hear the concept, but when you actually watch it, it's actually pretty entertaining. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're really looking for some new content for sports that since nobody's out there being able to do anything, check out at least those two channels, and then whatever else you can find on YouTube. I know it's a plethora of stuff that you can find on the internet and YouTube, so you'll find it. Just gotta look for it if you're really craving some new sports content.
Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, boys, that's it for me.
Our favorite thing?
Oh, yeah, favorite I don't have one, but yeah, go ahead.
I guess my favorite thing of the week is that sports is still progressing, even though we're on lockdown right now. You still see guys signing guys. You still see guys making moves. Teams are still, you know, and it might be dumb, but, you know, I'm glad that the Olympics, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics were canceled, or at least postponed for the time being, so that they don't spread it. Like, as much as it would have been great for it to be kind of a culmination of, look, we beat it, here's a world festival kind of an ordeal. Like, I'm glad that sports is still in action, even though
I don't think it's not actively postponed. And I know they gave themselves a 4-week window to decide on it.
Oh, see, I heard that it had been postponed. Okay. I'll double check just to make sure. But yeah, I'm just glad sports is still going, even though there's nothing on TV. It's kind of a light at the end of a tunnel situation.
It's one of those things to look forward to. My favorite thing of the week, I mean, just finding some of that content on YouTube. I mean, that, like I said, that's helped me get through the sports hiatus, and it's a lot of fun. Go back and check out some of the Marble Olympics that the Marble Races did, and a lot of the old videos that Dude Perfect did. It's just a lot of fun to watch those guys.
I'm about to eat. That's my favorite thing. I'm hungry. So, yeah, I really don't have anything else. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared for that.
Dude, no worries, man. We kind of threw it on you.
Yeah.
You know we do it every week.
I was like, you know, an every week situation.
Different circumstances, Kev. I wasn't expecting to do favorite things, man. But all right, everyone stay positive out there. Like Alex said, we will get through this. It's tough right now, but we will get through this. Also, take care of the service industry out there. Restaurants that are still open, support your local businesses. Yeah, it's my lovely fiance still working. Julian's, they're working their butts off over there. So go support them. Go support your other local businesses in this desperate time, difficult times. So yeah, support your service industry, your local businesses, all that good stuff. But stay positive, most of all. We're going to get through this. And with that, be good to yourself, be good to each other. Don't drink and drive, and don't text and drive.
Keep on swinging. Right now we're having our swings and misses, but keep on swinging. Eventually we're going to hit it out of the park and get out of this shit.
Mm-hmm. Live up to your words, carry your own weight, and look out for your friends. Peace.
Later.